It's on, praise the Lord. You know how those sound men are. They like to mess with you. All right, I got to move this. That looks like a good spot for it right there. Because I'll spill it over here. Oh, we got buttons to press. Let me move it out of the way. Guys are a little jumpy. That's one. Hey, I like pressing buttons. I'm like a kid. I find stuff up there. I wonder what these do. My son loves that when I do that at the house. When I press all the buttons on the VCR and stuff like that, it's just flashing. And he's going, "Dad, what'd you do?" I said, "Nothing. I just hit a button." He said, "Which one?" I said, "All of them." And hallelujah! Hey, I'm in the at 58 years old. I remember when computers came in. And my first computer was a black screen, the DOS and all that other stuff. And I look at that thing and I'm thinking, this is nuts. And this is crazy. And I thought this was the greatest invention in the world. Now they got stuff. My phone is no longer a phone. If you got one of them old, 5-year-old phones, you got a flip phone, all you have is a phone. I have we all have these things now, what they call them, smartphones. You know what I found out? I'm not smarter than the phone. And I press a lot of buttons, and when it doesn't do what I want it to do, I won't tell you what I do to it. But it's not kind, and I'm on my third phone, so hallelujah. So you know what I've done to it. I'm an Italian. It's just like, okay, we got to teach it a lesson. Amen. But it's good to be here. I'm glad you're here this evening. Take your Bible, go to the book of Philippians chapter 3. And while you're going to the book of Philippians chapter 3, let me just say, we are, as an evangelist and a church planner, we're trying to start churches all over the country. I have about 6 or 7 prayer cards, and I apologize, I didn't bring my book tables. When I don't bring my book tables, I don't bring my prayer cards. I had some in the car. And so I've got a handful of them. I like to give Pastor one so that he doesn't forget me. When I call him, he'll go, "Who are you?" And I'm glad to be here. But I'd ask you please to pray for us this year. There's just a lot of things on the docket. As an evangelist, and I tell people I'm a missionary evangelist. There's no such thing in the Bible as the word missionary is never used one time. I think we ought to use Bible words. I'm a Bible evangelist, just like he's a Bible pastor of a church. And we go around the country trying to help churches and stir churches. Last year, God gave me the opportunity. I was in 73 churches over the course of about 48 weeks. And God's been very, very good to us. And I sure do appreciate the opportunity. I put about 50-some thousand miles on the vehicle. And I do that about every year. And this year is going to be no different. And I love what I get to do. But I'm asking, the year 2016, I'm praying and I'm asking God for some very big things. And I'd ask you to pray with me, please. We need some help. I need your prayer help. I need you to help me pray about some serious needs. I'm part of several organizations. I say several organizations. I'm an independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, King James, Bible-believing, soul-winning, temperamental Baptist preacher. And a lot of people don't like that. And I've made a few enemies. Thank God. I'm not everybody's friend. I'm trying to be everybody's friend, like Jesus was everybody's friend. Lou D. Philip Antonio is not everybody's friend. He wants to be, but we're going to draw the line some certain places. But there are some things that God has, I'm involved in. In the last couple of years, God had opened the door and I got to go to Burma. Matter of fact, when I came back from Burma, I think I preached for you, and I came back with a parasite. And that parasite, in 2013, the first part of 2014, for about a year, I lived with a temperature that was about 96.5. And I couldn't get it to go up. I had one of those parasites. But we got to see about 600 people saved and help start 8 churches. And I got to win four village chiefs to the Lord, and it was wonderful. I mean, it was just wonderful. But God has opened the door, and I've started a new ministry. We're Pillar Baptist Ministries. We are a church planting, church helps organization, and we start one or two, three churches. We helped a couple churches last year, going through some real tough times, and helped pastors. I love pastors. I'm being a preacher. I love preachers, and I got a lot of young preachers that I've tried to help, and I'm trying to help. I've got some on the docket that have asked me to come and just try to be a blessing, try to be an encouragement. And I help older preachers. I've got some preachers like my father-in-law that are in their 70s. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help younger preachers to understand we got to keep the older preachers in their place and let them go out the way God expected them to go out. Now, not everybody listens. And the young men that don't listen, they get yelled at. But I do. I yell at them. You call me for help, I'm going to yell at you. If you want to be a blessing, here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of those guys that are in the pulpits right now, that have been in the pulpits 30 and 40 years. If we're not careful, we'll lose that old-time voice of those old war horses that love God and know God like you and I don't know God. And let's face it, I can't take the strain of what, you know, at 58, 60, 70 years old, they can't take the a lot of the day-to-day. Anyway, I'm trying to help a bunch of young preachers, trying to find them some places where they can be a blessing and lift up the arms of the old men like Aaron and Hur did for Moses. And so I'm involved in a lot of that, but I'm also involved in a ministry that is trying to reach into the Asian world, trying to reach into Burma and Thailand and Burma, and God's opened some doors. I have an open door right now to go to Cambodia and India and South Vietnam and South Korea and Pakistan. That's the one that kind of intrigues me and scares me at the same time. but just recently, God opened the door, I think I'm going to Africa this year in June. And can I say, how are you taking all these trips? I'm not without your help and without your prayer, because to go to Burma, it's $4,500 to go to Burma. I go over there for 30 days. I take 30 days and I'll spend 21 to 35 days over there. And we just, it's from early morning to late night. And it's usually November and the first part of December. So the whole month of November, sometimes the first half of December. But I'm asking you to please pray for us. We're going to Africa this year. The thing about Africa that intrigues me, I've never been to Africa. I've been to Mexico. I've been to the foreign country of Canada. Hallelujah. It is a foreign country. When you get far enough up, it's a foreign country. It's like, glory to God, send me back to America quick. And I got off the plane. I got off the plane out of leaving Canada. I got off the plane. I kissed the ground. The stewardess looked at me and she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm glad to be home." She said, "Canada's a wonderful place." I said, "God bless you. You can have it." And I live here. Amen. And who's trying to get paperwork to become a citizen? Thank you for doing it right. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. I won't get political because I'm not political. But that's the way it ought to be done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Doing it right. Let me just say, in Africa, here's what I have in Africa right now going. There's about 400 independent Baptist preachers wanting somebody to come preach to them, wanting somebody to come help them a little bit. And then the two or three I'm talking about 400 Baptist preachers in South Africa and Zimbabwe and some other country that's right above it. I don't remember the name, but they told me if I would come and preach to them for a week and stay an extra week or two, that I could preach in all the public schools there. They said you literally can preach to tens of thousands of children if you're able. I said, "I'm able." I said, I think I can handle it. Amen. And do you understand? You can't preach to the public schools in America. No. You can forget that. They'll put you in jail. I can't even walk on the campus of a public school without being arrested. I mean, you just can't do that. And to go in and be able to preach to them. And the guy told me, he said, "Well, you'll literally be able to preach to tens of thousands." He said, "We'll go to 2, 3, 4 a day, as many as you want." I said, "I want to go to all of them. I want to go from morning till night till I can't go no more." He said, "Aren't you afraid of being tired?" I said, "I can rest on the airplane on the way home." And so you pray. I want to do that. Here's what I'm praying. I told that preacher, I said, I'm praying for, I want to see 1,000 people get saved. I've never seen 1,000. I've seen 550, 600. I've never seen 1,000 people saved in one trip. I want to see 1,000 people saved. He said, the last guy that was here 2 years ago, he stayed for 8 days. He had 2,000 people saved. I went, I'm staying for 10. And so you pray about that. And we are in the process this year of 2016 trying to raise some mission support, more mission support. I'm trying to almost triple what I have coming in. I got about 25% of what I believe in my pastor and the folks that I know go around the country trying to. I just believe God is opening the door around the world, and I want to be a blessing. Listen, I love my country. I love America. I have been starting churches in America since 1994. I've been involved in Pillar Baptist Ministries, starting churches and helping churches, and I want to do more. And God's opening some doors, and I'm asking you to please pray for me and please pray with me and my wife and I. As now she doesn't go because she's a chicken, and no, she doesn't go because number one, I got to have somebody home in case I don't come home to take care of all the things that are home. Amen. And I'm asking you to please pray with us, and I'd appreciate that. I'll not say any more about that. I have about 8 prayer cards, and the first 8 people can have them, and I'll send some up, or I'll ask the pastor if I can come back maybe later. You know how that goes. I understand. I was a pastor. I pastored a church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for 4 years, and I didn't believe all these pastors that said, people call me all the time. And I'm going, yeah, right. They didn't even know who I was. They would call me up and ask me my name. What's your name? Dude, if you don't know my name, you can't come. And nobody can spell it. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 3, if you would, please. Philippians chapter 3. And verse 1, if you stand with me, please, out of respect for the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 is where we're going to start. I don't see a clock.
Amen.
Okay. I'm in Pennsylvania. I can carry a gun in this state. Amen. I just came from the communist state of New Jersey. Amen. You're welcome. Don't ask me what I think. You're liable to find out. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we sure do love you this evening. And God, we sure do need you tonight. And God, I don't want, even if I could, I don't want to have to preach this sermon in my own power and in my own strength. God, I give myself to you, and I'd ask you to hide me behind the cross of Christ. I'd ask you, dear Jesus, to have your will and way in every heart and in every life. God, starting with mine, I pray you'll put a holy hush in this place, and I pray you'll unction every word, God, as if it's your very own. Father, don't let them hear from me, but let them hear from heaven tonight. God, I need to hear from heaven tonight. I'd ask that you stir us tonight in a special Holy Ghost kind of a way. God, I pray you'll make us and mold us into what you'd have us to be this year. Father, a brand new year and a brand new opportunity and brand new challenges and things that you want us to do. But God, I'd ask you, dear Jesus, to have your will and way in every heart and every life tonight. God, please bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat if you would. I normally don't stop there, but I just felt like I needed to stop there tonight. Because I want to talk to you for a few minutes. Because he says this, look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Can I just tell you tonight what Paul, in those first 12 to 14 verses that we read, I don't know if you hear it, but the more I've read this through the years, and I'll be honest with you, I have read this passage of Scripture probably every day for a month, sometimes twice a day this month and part of last month. It just has, it's been bothering me. I mean, it's just the more I read it, the more sermons I get, and the more thoughts that I see. But can I tell you, what I see here is an intensity in the Apostle Paul. As I can hear the intensity in his thought process and in his voice and in his desire to try to explain who he is and what he is. And can I just say this evening, best way I can tonight, I've entitled this thing all kinds of, I got 20 titles for this sermon. And I don't even know that if it's a sermon. It's just an opportunity for me to yell and scream and get you to help us all to get right with God tonight. But I wanted to call it, "I Want the Treasure," or "I Want the Prize." I've called it, I want it now more than ever. I want to call it, "I Still Want It." I've also called it, "Set the Prize Before Your Eyes." Jesus, Paul said this, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And I'll be honest with you, when I first started preaching that, I always preached on, that's heaven. The moment you get saved, you're assured of heaven. I don't think the prize, listen, the place where we'll experience the wonders of it all, yes, that place is heaven, but I don't think the prize Paul's talking about is heaven. I don't think it's a place. I think the prize is a person. But God says this, Paul says this, he says that I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize is the high calling of God. What's the high calling of God? The moment you got saved, God allowed you to be part of the family of God. I believe the high calling of God is being able to serve an almighty, all-powerful God. The prize is the fact that I'm allowed to serve Him and to live for Him. The prize is being able to please my God. The moment you got saved, you were given heaven. Heaven's part of the deal when you get saved. I don't think, yeah, I'm going to experience, but I'm going to meet in heaven my God. But it's all about serving the Lord. It's all about being His. It's all about pleasing Jesus. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God." I get to serve God. I get to love God. I get to get close to God. Look at verse 1. Now, I may be wrong, and your pastor will tell you I'm wrong later. But can I just say tonight, I've looked at this thing, and I have been, it has kept me up at night. Chapter 3. Can I say that this evening, by way of introduction, I want you to look at Paul. I want you to look at Paul, and can I say this evening, Paul writes with care. And look what he says in verse 1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, But for you, it's safe. Paul, can I say, Paul writes, and his writings, Paul's writings are with care. Paul's writing, I've got it outlined 12 different places. But can I say, Paul's writings are with care. Paul says, I'm writing to you, not because it's great. Listen, it's not grievous for me to write to you. I'm not upset. He says, I get to write to you. I get to help you. He said, because for you, what I'm trying to tell you, it's safe. It'll keep you safe. It'll help you. And I love doing it. Can I tell you, Paul loves serving the Lord. Paul loves serving the Lord. He went through some turmoils. He went through a lot of stuff. But you understand, Paul knew God. Paul experienced Jesus Christ. And Paul writes, can I say his writings are with care? And I want you to understand, he's not writing just to everybody. He's writing to fellow believers. He said, finally, brethren. He's not talking to a bunch of lost people. He's talking to the church. He's talking to saved people. He says, finally, brethren, to write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous. He says, it doesn't bother me at all, but to you it is safe. He said, I want you to be safe. I want you to be right with God. I'm writing to you with all the care that I can muster. And then he says this in verse 2, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. He says, you and I must beware of those things that will take you out of the race, that will devour you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. That's people who plan hurt. They plan to hurt you on purpose. It's premeditated hurt. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That's that which cuts you apart. There was a group called the concision, comprised of a bunch of the Pharisees and the religious of that day, and they were just the people that they followed the law. Bless God, it's this way. And there's no grace, there's no mercy, there's no nothing, it's just law. They hated Jesus Christ, they hated anybody that went against them, and they would literally tear you apart. Their whole job, they weren't trying to build anything, they were trying to tear everything that was in opposition to them apart. There are people like that today in the church. There are people like that today in this world. They don't want to build nothing, all they want to do is tear stuff apart. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm writing to you with care. I'm writing to you to caution you. I write with caution. He said, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Beware of those things that will eat you up and tear you apart. I don't know if you've ever heard of a fellow named Jerry Clower. When I was growing up, Jerry Clower, well, my wife, when I first got into evangelism, I drive through the night with all five of our children and dog, German Shepherd, full-size German Shepherd, in our van. And we would drive through the night so that my kids would sleep. And I would get, drive through the night. And I'd listen to, he was a Southern Baptist comedian, Jerry Clower was. But his stories, man, they would make me laugh. I got a kick out of them. But every once in a while, he throws some preaching in there. But I remember, I'm thinking about this when he says, beware of dogs. Jerry Clower said, I remember the best fight I ever saw over a pot of slimy boiled okra was two dogs. He said, we threw it down there. He said, the one dog ate it so fast, it just slid down his throat. He ate it so fast. He said, he thought the other dog had eaten it. He said, it was the best fight I'd, he's a, best fight and the worst fight I'd ever seen, two dogs over a pot of slip slimy boiled okra. And I thought about dogs, and can I say, I've got two German Shepherds at the house, and they like to play. They don't fight. They don't get brutal. But every once in a while, they'll go after each other a little bit. And then my male German Shepherd, my wife's German Shepherd, excuse me, not mine, my wife's, as soon as he stands up and he's got a certain tone and a certain bark, then the female backs up and says, okay, you're boss. But can I tell you something? I've seen dogs, I've seen hound dogs fighting all, I mean, what they're trying to do, they'll each grab an end, and man, they're trying to tear that thing apart. And here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, I write to you with care, but I write to you with caution that you beware of these people that just want to tear stuff up. And by the way, let me just say this to the church of God tonight. You be careful that you don't make, you make sure you make your friends the friends that you're going to have, the close friends you're going to have, you better make sure they're part of this church and involved in the church and love God and love the pastor and are close to God and close to the pastor and close to other members. You better be careful, because you get one devil in here, and that one little devil, he'll light some fires through here. He'll have everybody down, like, hey, did you hear what the pastor said the other night? I'm not sure I agree with that. Let me help you. You look at him and say, you need to shut up now before you get in a lot of trouble. You say, I teach my children not to say shut up. Well, then untrain them. Amen. I'm sorry. Just tell, okay, say this. Hush! I ain't listening to that trash. Paul says, I'm writing to you. He said, it's not grievous for me. He said, for you it's safe. I'm writing to you with care. I'm writing with caution. He said, beware of dogs and beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Then I want you to see Paul's writings. Paul writes with commending. He says, for we are the circumcision. What's the circumcision? The circumcision is that spiritually pure people. You know what we are as the saved? We're the circumcision. We're the spiritually pure. We're those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We are the circumcision. That spiritually pure. That which puts things together, not tears them apart. He says, I'm trying to commend you, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We worship God in the Spirit. And we rejoice. You know, a lot of Baptist people, you just like, well, bless God, we're here. I'm sitting here and I'm watching, I'm listening to people. Praise the Lord for not killing deer and not getting, and for money that was already provided ahead of time. And just all kind of things. And I'm thinking, if they could just, I had to behave myself because I wanted to shout. Amen. But I know that, you know, on the East Coast, we just, well, bless God, we can't shout, because what will happen if we shout? People will think we've gone charismatic. Bless God, the independent, fundamental, narrow-minded Baptist had a way before then people were even thought of. We're afraid to raise our hands. We're afraid to say amen. We're afraid to praise the Lord. We're afraid to shout. People say, well, you know, I just don't think we ought to do that. Knock yourself out, but you're missing out on something. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I'm just trying to commend you. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then he makes I call this Paul's claim. Paul writes with claim. He says, we rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul said we have no confidence. Here's our claim. Paul's claim. He says, I have no confidence in my flesh. He says, in me dwelleth no good thing, and I know that. But there's a lot of people, they think, oh my, look at me. Look at me. Oh man, I can handle that. I can handle that. I never forget. I never forget as long as I live. I'm sitting in a revival. I'm sitting in a camp meeting, and a young man comes in, a young independent Baptist preacher, a friend of mine. I helped him start his church, and he had been at this thing about 6 years. And man, he got up, and they were getting ready to build a brand new building, and he got up, and I mean, he scathed sin. I mean, he did a great job. And then he said this, I would never do that. And he called names, I'd never do that. And I'd never do that. And I'd never do that. I'm going, oh. Boy, you just painted a target on you. I went to him after church. I looked at him as kindly as I could. And I said, if I were you, I'm going to pray for you. I said, because you scare me. I said, because what you just said tonight, I said, or this morning, I said, you just painted a huge target on your face and on your heart. And I said, he said, don't you worry about it, Lou. I got this thing covered. And 6 months later, I was pastoring his church. And they had started a brand new building project and entered into a $300,000 project. And my name's on it now. Because I was the interim pastor of the church, trying to help that church find a pastor. Now they've got a pastor. They're doing great. That was 20 years ago. But I can remember him and saying, I'd never. I'm thinking, well, you don't know what you would do. You're capable of everything I'm capable of. And can I tell you tonight, Paul understood his flesh. Paul understood that what was in his flesh. And he said, I have no confidence in the flesh. Can I tell you something? I remember when I was in my 20s and 30s, man, I thought I was invincible. You know what I sat in that pew. Now, I don't know if you sit in these pews every week. I sat in that pew, and the first time he said, we're going to get up and sing our welcome song, I'm going, ooh, okay, I'm up. Hallelujah. I'm finding my flesh at 58 isn't quite as responsive as it was in the 20s. And I know some of you people in your 70s and 80s, you're laughing, you're going, you wait. I'll wait. But here, Paul, by way of introduction, Paul writes with care and with caution, and he writes with commending. He says, you're the circumcision. We're the circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Jesus Christ. And then with his claim, he says, and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, then I call this Paul's confidence. Look at verse 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, I more. Now I draw your attention. Let me read you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, he says this, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more oft, in death, in prisons more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews 5 times, received thy 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeys oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings off, in hunger and thirst, in fastings off, in cold and nakedness, besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul says, who is weak, and am not I weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? He says, if I must glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. But Paul was saying, hey, listen, I've got something to be confident of. I've been through a lot. I mean, I understand a little bit about the ministry. I understand a little bit about working and about striving and about being afraid. But he says, he speaks here about, he says, I understand that I have no confidence in the flesh. He said, even though there's a lot of people out there that have confidence in the flesh, he said, I've been through a few things. He writes about his confidence, but in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 5, I see Paul's credentials. Paul gives us his credentials. He says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Paul said, when it comes to my credentials, he said, I just want you to understand. He said, I've got some spectacular credentials. The Bible says that God allows Paul to say that he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And that he is, as touching the law, according to the law, the Old Testament. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee. I'm the guy that I understand it. He said, I'm not just some flunky that just blows in, blows up, and blows out. He said, I've got credentials. Then he goes on and says this. He talks about, his certification. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. I call this, Paul says, let me tell you a little bit about my carryings out, my carryings on or carrying out. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, when it comes to zeal, I'm all in. I've persecuted those, what most people would call the church, but he says most people call it a false religion. He said, when it comes to zeal, I was all in. I was all, as a Pharisee, I was all in. I persecuted the church. He says, but when it comes to this last part, put my glasses back on, I'm sorry. He says, touching the righteousness, which is in the law. Blameless. Blameless. Paul said, when it comes to the Old Testament law, he said, nobody can point a finger at me and say, you've not kept that. Paul said, I'm blameless. That's big talk. That's serious. Paul said, I just want you to understand what I am and who I am. And he gives us his credentials and his certification and his carrying on. But I want you to see his circumspection. He says, as touching the law, blameless. But then he says this in verse 7 and 8. I call this is my favorite part. This is where I see the zeal. This is where I see this passion. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now we're about to see Paul's counting. Paul's fixing to make a counting. And you can entitle this section anything you want, but I call it a passionate count for a pleasing new year. A passionate count for a pleasing new year, or a proper counting for a productive new year. Maybe you just ought to call it this, a new count for a new year. Or, what's your count? Listen to this. Look what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What was he talking about? He's talking about everything he just said. He said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, basically, when it comes to the law, he said, I'm blameless. I'm perfect when it comes to the Old Testament law. He said, let me just tell you something. He said, all that I used to be. He said, all that everybody would say I am. He said, I count all that loss. He said, that ain't nothing. He said, I count all of that loss for Christ. He said, everything that everybody thinks that I am, everything that I am, everything, all of my credentials, all of my certificates, all of my, everything that I've ever done, he said, I count out all, he said, I count that all loss for Christ. He said, it ain't about me. It's about him. And then he says this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. I'll read the rest in a minute. Paul uses the term count. He said, I count, and do count. Everything that everybody holds near and dear in this life, in the flesh, he said, I count it all loss and dung. Everybody knows what dung is. That's waste material. That's what comes out of the south end of a northbound horse. Amen. Paul says, everything that everybody holds dear in this life, all the physical, all these accolades, all of these things, Paul said, I count all that dung. Then he says this. These next three statements are powerful statements. He says, that I may win Christ. I want to win Christ. What are you talking about, preacher? I want to win Christ. Paul said, I want to win his favor. I want him to know that I'm after Him and that I'm for Him and that I want Him. I want to gain His approval. I want favor and I want regard and I want Him to look and take notice. Listen, my wife and I, when I first met my wife a lot of years ago, I'm trying to think how many, a lot. I came into the church and I was 19 years old and I was still running from God a little. About 20 years old, I was just about done with running from God, but I came into the church. I must have been older than that. Well, my grandmother invited me to the church. She says, "You got to meet the pastor's daughter." And I'm going, "Okay. What's she look like?" "Oh, she's cute." And I said, "Okay." Well, my grandmother's got this pretty good taste. My grandmother don't like anybody. And but she liked her. "So you got to meet her. I don't know. I forget her name, but she's got blonde hair and blue eyes." I said, "Man, I'm Italian." I says, "You got any Italian girls in there?" She goes, "No, you got to meet the pastor's daughter." Okay. I walked into the church. I met the pastor's daughter. She went like this. She went, "Hi." And I'm going like, "Yo." What's the deal with that? I mean, she didn't give me the time of day like, "Hi." And it was, I mean, literally, it was that quick. "Hi." I think she shook my hand, I think. Or maybe she didn't because she didn't want to. It was like, man, she blew me off like I was last year's Christmas tree. You know, like, "Oh, you ugly thing." Just like, I did not exist. And do you know, it took me a long time to win her favor. It took me a while. Man, I had to throw all the Italian charm I could throw. I had to put it all on the line. It was difficult because she could have cared less. And I had to show her that I cared. And at first, I didn't. But it was a challenge, you know what? But when we started talking a little bit, then I got involved in the youth group. I was kind of like the leader-ish. I took them to a few organized little things and little ditties, and we talked for a little bit. And make a long story short, it took me about a year and a half before, you know, we were in love, and I had to win her favor. I bought her all kind of stuff. I was nice to her. I was sweet to open the door for her. I still open the door for her most of the time, unless it's raining. Then it's every man, woman, and child for themselves to the car. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. It's the truth, but I shouldn't have said it. But when she told me, "I love you," and when I told her I loved her, and when we got engaged, I remember telling her, when we got engaged, I remember putting the ring on her finger, and it, you know, it was a big ordeal. To make a long story short, I looked at her and I said, "Honey," I said, "I just want you to know there's somebody I love more than you." And she looked at me and put her hands on her hips and she said, "His name better be Jesus." I said, "Yeah, it is. It is." But it took me a while to win her. Can I say, Paul was saying this. He said everything. He said, "I count." He said, "But what things were gained to me, I count it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss," Paul said, "of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He said, "I want to win Christ. I want to win His favor. I want to win His love. I want to win His care." He said, "I want to win Him to me. I want Him to know that He's all mine and I'm all His. And be found in Him. I don't want to just win Him. I want to be found in Him." Look what it says in verse 9. "And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law." But that, he said, Paul said, here Paul was saying, "I don't want what I can have, mine own righteousness, which is of the law." He said, "I don't want what I can have, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He said, "I don't want what I can have." He said, "I want to win Christ, but I want to be found in Him. Listen, I'm saved. I want everybody to know my faith is real. It's not about me. It's all about Him. I want to be found in Him. I want people, when they look at me, to know that I'm His. Let me ask you a question. What account do you give? What account do you give? Do people look at you and do they know you're His? Do they know you're all His? Are you trying to win Christ? Are you trying to be, or do you want to be found in Him? Not what you can do, but what He's done for you. Are you trying to let that shine through you? He said, I don't want what my own righteousness, which is of the law. He said, I don't want what I can do. He said, I want everybody to know that everything I am is what He's done. Look at verse 10. That I may know Him. I want you to understand, Paul said, I want to win Him. I want to win Christ. I want to be found in Christ. And I want to know Him. He's talking about an intimacy beyond anything and any relationship that he's ever had with anybody. He said, I want an intimacy with Him and only Him. That I may know Him. I told my wife this year, I said, I would just like to know Him a little better this year. I'd like to know Him a little better this year. I think of the Apostle John. The Bible calls him John the Beloved. When the apostles wanted something, they said, John, you go ask Him. You know why? Because John was the fellow that would come and lean on Jesus' breast. Lean his face and his head on his breast. You say, what was he doing? He wanted to know God. Amen. He wanted God to know that he loved him. He wanted to be close to the Savior. He wanted to have that intimacy. He wanted to feel the radiance of the love and the heat off of the Savior's body. But he wanted to hear God's heartbeat. He wanted to be close to Him. Can I tell you something? We don't hear much preaching about getting close to God these days. I'm not saying your pastor doesn't preach. I know he does, but I'm just saying we don't hear preaching about getting close to God. Wanting to know Him. Drawing up close to Him. Listening to what He's got to say. What do you got to say, Lord? You can't lay your head on His breast physically, but you can spiritually. Don't you honestly, I want to know God this year. I'll be honest with you. I read my Bible through about a time and a half last year. And I'm halfway through. In January, I was halfway through this. And I asked God, do I got to go back to Genesis and start over again? He said, no, just keep reading. So I got a brand new Bible. I love and hate brand new Bibles at the same time. Because you got a brand new Bible. My other Bible had paper clips and notes and sermons. This Bible, it's white. It's like, where's all my notes? And this Bible is brand new. Normally I read a Bible through 2 years at my desk before I even take it on the road. I found a Bible that's finally, they're all the same. The pages are the same. Everything's exactly the same. So I bought a bunch of them. And you say, why? Because I'm getting old. I might not remember the reference, but I remember what the page looks like. If you don't understand that, it's because you ain't spent no time preaching nowhere. But I know what the page looks like. I'll be going like this in my old Bible. Oh, there it is. I thought it was in Corinthians, and it's in way back in the back. But as I've read through my Bible, I told my wife, I said, I want to get to know Him better this year. And I didn't tell her that, and I didn't tell you that to think, oh man, he's trying to be real spiritual. All I know is this. From the time I said that till this morning, it's been a stinking fight. It's been a fight. I felt like, Lord, I said that. You were listening. He said, I'm just testing you out, dummy. And I'll be honest with you. I've blown it a few times. You're not even supposed to admit that out loud. Brother Hollis used to say this. You can let people know you have feet of clay, but stop taking your shoes off. I'm just telling you, it's been a fight. I still want to know Him. I still want to do more for Him. Listen, Paul said, I want to win Christ, and I want to be found in Christ, and I want to know Christ. Here's what he said. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He said, I don't think I'm ever going to get to the place where I'm going to arrive. He said, I know I'm never going to arrive down here. He said, but I want to know God. I want to know the power that He has. I want to know the fellowship of the suffering that He's been under. Now, can I say this? Paul was under some suffering. Paul, I mean, 90, do you understand? 40 stripes five times, save one. That's 39 times five. That's 195 lashes. When you get to heaven, you're going to know who Paul is. Paul's going to be the guy all tore up. You say, he's going to look like Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is going to have nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But there's a couple of disciples that are going to have some holes in them. Amen. You're welcome. But you're going to be able to tell Paul, Paul's going to have whiplashes everywhere. 195 lashes. He was stoned and left for dead. Do you understand when they stoned him in Lystra, they thought he was dead. You ever threw a stone at anybody? I have. I got a brother. When he was a little rascal, he and I we're farmers. You live on the farm, you live in the field, you throw stuff at each other. We decided one day we were going to have a mud ball fight. Well, I like winning, so I put some rocks in mine. Well, he was 2 years younger than me, and he lost. Because the first time I hit him, one of them rocks on his head. That mud kind of dissipated, and that rock, bow, and it dropped him. And I'm thinking, oh my. I thought I killed him, because he just... And I couldn't, from my distance, you know, from me to you in the back right there, I thought, he's dead. Because I can't see anybody breathing, I can't see you breathing. I'm thinking, I done killed him. I went running over to him, and I shook him, and he's laying there. Do you understand? They say the Bible says I threw one stone. The Bible says they stoned Paul and left him for dead. You're going to be able to tell Paul's going to be the guy with lumps and bumps everywhere, I think. I don't know. I have weird ideas about what people are going to look like. All I know is this. Paul said, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of His suffering. I want to get so deep that I understand and feel and sense and realize that there's the power of the resurrection, the fellowship, that association, that I'm like Him, that I suffer for Jesus and suffer with Jesus. I understand the power in that and the association and the fellowship of that and being made conformable unto His death. If, he says, by any means I might attain. I just want to get a hold. I just want to grasp a little bit of truth. I just want to grasp a little bit. I want to get just a little bit deeper. Then he says this, and I'll quit. I got a watch on. I don't even know what time it is, but I haven't looked. Verse 11 says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, not as though I had already attained. He said, either were already perfect. Paul said, I understand that I'm not even close to being what I ought to be. I'm not even close to pressing toward the mark like I want to. I'm not even close to hitting the mark like I want to. I want to be more like Him. I want to know Him better. I've lost everything. It's all dung to me. It's waste. It's useless. I want to know Him. I want to win Him. Listen, I want to be found in Him. I want to just get close as I can to Him. And I don't think I've arrived. Some of us tonight better understand, we've not arrived yet. But we ought to want Him. We ought to want to be closer to Him. We ought to want to be more like Him. Then he says this. This is the coolest statement, I think. It's one of those great statements in the Word of God. He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here's what he was saying. He said, I'm just trying to grab a hold of what's grabbed a hold of me. I want to get hold of what's already gotten a hold of me. He said, I can't even explain it. I'm not even sure how to do it. He said, but I know this. I want it. He said, if I might apprehend, if I might just capture for a moment that which has captured all of my attention, I just want to know Him. And I want to win Him. And I want to be found in Him. And I just want to attain for just a bit. I want to get a little closer. Let me ask you tonight. Don't you want to get a little closer to Him? Don't you want to know Him just a little teeny bit better? Can I tell you, my friend, there ain't but one way to find Him. You find Him in the Word of God. Listen, you find Him in the Word of God, and you find Him in the work of God. You find Him trying to be and trying to do. And Paul said, I just want to know Him, and I want to win Him, and I want to be found in Him. Let me ask you a question. Paul said, all the things that people have counted on and that I used to count on, he said, they're all lost and dumb. He said, the only thing I want is I want for just a little while, I want to grab hold of Him. I want to get a little closer to Him. You know, when you apprehend, can I use you? Come here. Now, is this your mom and dad? Your mom and dad ever call you in the house and say, hey, come in here, what's your name? Logan, here we come. Logan, come in here. And you're just... And then your father says, boy, better get in here. Now, you're probably a good kid. My kids, I'd have to call them 3 or 4 times. I'd have to go out there and drag them in. But when you've done something wrong and you decide you're going to take off and you're... Apprehend literally means... When your mom and dad want to grab hold of you, they apprehend you, they got to get close. Thank you. Can I say, that's what apprehend is. Paul says, I got to get close. I got to get close to Him. I got to get close to Him. I want to just get close to Him. I want to grab hold of Him just once. Paul said, I got to get closer than I am now. Can I say what the... And he talks about it in verse 13 and 14. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Paul said, forget all... Last year's blessings are over. Last year's curses are over. Last year's problems are last year's problems. What you've done in the past are the past. He said, you can't live there. He said, you got to live today and get closer every day. Paul said, I want to win Him. And I want to... Listen, I want to know Him. And I want to be found in Him. I don't know about you. I don't know how much longer America has left. I don't know. I don't know. And I do care because I love my country. But can I just say this? I want to know Him. We ought to want to know Him today just a little bit more. Just a little bit closer. Just a little less of Lou and a little more of Jesus. I just sense Paul saying, there's just too much Paul. Several times in the Word of God, he says, I die daily. You know why? He said, there's too much Paul. Too much Paul, not enough Jesus. So I die daily. Can I say, Paul says, he says, I follow after, if that I may apprehend, just for a moment, if I could just grab hold of that part of that the God of the universe that's grabbed hold of me. Tonight, why don't we ask God tonight, God, I want to know You better. I want to be found in You more. And I want to win You. I want to win Your favor. I just believe tonight, in the start of a new year, we ought to just tell God at an old fashioned way, God, I want there to be less of me and more of You. less of me and more of you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, would you please help us tonight and bless us tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. But I wonder tonight, if we'll be honest with God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We'll just be honest with God tonight. How many say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, sure. I mean, I know that I know that I know for a Bible reason. I'm saved and on my way to heaven, no doubt about it. Would you slip your hand up? Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. All right, you can put your hands down. I wonder if it might be somebody in the house tonight. Say, preacher, if I died right now, I'll be honest with God, if I died right now, I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure. I got a little bit of doubt, preacher. Would you please pray for me? Can I pray for you, my friend? Anybody at all? Preacher, I'm just not sure about heaven tonight. Can I pray for you? Slip your hand and put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Anybody at all? Say, preacher, I'm just not sure tonight. I'm just not sure about my eternal destination. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Preacher, would you please pray for me? Anybody at all? I wonder tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you one question. I don't want you to raise your hand. But I wonder tonight. Don't you want to win Christ's favor tonight? Don't you want to win Christ tonight and be found in Him tonight and know Him and every aspect of His life a little better tonight? Don't you want in this year to at least follow after Him a little closer so that we can just get to know Him better? Don't you want that tonight? Man, I sure do. Heavenly Father, would you please bless us tonight. Bless your people tonight. I just believe people ought to come. Listen, I believe we can pray in our seat, but I believe the altar is the place where we step out of our comfort zone, taking our flesh to another level. We understand our flesh doesn't mean anything. And we come to an old-fashioned altar and we mortify the deeds of the flesh at an old-fashioned altar. And we just decide we're going to get real with God. I just be honest, real decisions are made at altars. You say, preacher, I can't come and kneel at an altar. You can come sit on the front row, but you need to leave where you are and bring your gift. What's my gift? You. You bring you to the altar, to God, and say, God, help me. I want to be more. I want to know you better. I want to win you. I want to be found in you. And I want to experience and apprehend that. I want to grab a hold of that which has got a hold of me. Father, would you please bless us this evening? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm just going to ask the organist, the sister, if you got something that God's laid on your heart to play, if you need to come tonight, you come. If you're not saved, you come and let us take our Bible and show you what the Bible says about heaven. If you're saved tonight, I think you ought to want to know Him better tonight. Take your time. Don't be in a rush.